The Will Wade saga takes a turn. We'll see if it's for the better or not. While another LSU basketball player declares for the NBA draft. Because of whether LSU makes a change in their weekend series against the Aggies. We got you covered with gymnastics, hoops, football, baseball, and more. What a busy day. Today, Friday, April 5th, 2019.
Leg kick pitch from Anderson, swinging a high drive right field, taking off towards the track. This ball's got a shot. It is up on top of that yellow line. That's a home run. J.D. Martinez goes the other way. And the lead becomes 3-0 for Boston.
The 2-0 pitch. And a swung on and hit high there to deep center. Back is Bradley to the track at the wall, and this game is tied. Piscotty goes dead central on Eduardo Rodriguez. He scores Begley and Simeon, and it's a 3-3 ball game.
Hey, good afternoon. Happy.
A three-pointer short. Rebound to Giannis. Bucks turn and run.
Oh, well, there you go. Giannis, turn and run. I know what he did. He dunked it. Hey, happy Friday, everybody. How you doing? Great to be with you on a very, very busy day planned for you and yours. Great to be with you. CD back in the master control suite, making everything run smoothly and efficiently. He's in the 237 Roof Studios. Yours truly, Studio 1A. And away we go. The big story out there for a lot of people, LSU and suspended basketball coach Will Wade are working toward a meeting, according to a report filed by our good friend Ross Dellinger from Sports Illustrated. Wade's got a new attorney from Chicago named Stephen Thompson, who's initiating a potential discussion. Thompson represents other coaches under the NCAA spotlight and microscope. Arizona coach Sean Miller, Auburn coach Bruce Pearl, a senior associate athletic director Robert Munson told Sports Illustrated, "This is something we have been working on weeks, and I can confirm the most recent talks with Will's legal counsel have been productive. As we have said since day one, we would welcome Will and his legal counsel's cooperation in this process. With an NCAA inquiry, where it leads will depend on the level of cooperation with LSU and the NCAA, but we have certainly made clear our desire to take this first step." Will Wade's been suspended for nearly a month now. And obviously, look, obviously, LSU wants this man to be their head coach. If they didn't, they would have fired him on the spot. But they keep waiting and lingering, and so we'll see. And both sides, Wade and his respective counsel and LSU, have had public back and forth with public statements made during Wade's suspension. So Wade says he wants to be reinstated. LSU has not fired him. It looks like discussions are underway. And we shall see. We shall see. But at least there's some news on that front. Speaking of LSU basketball, yes, we knew Naz Reid had declared for the NBA draft. Now Tremont Waters has declared for the NBA draft. And earlier today, Skylar Mays made his intentions known that he wants to declare for the NBA draft as well. So that's three. Excuse me. Cavell Bigby-Williams is tendered his eligibility. So that's four starters want to be out of here. So timing is of the most relevant urgency when it comes to LSU basketball. We will talk today with my buddy Rudy Macklin about that. We'll talk to Henry Hayes about that. Plus, you know, where do they project these LSU players to go in the NBA, and what kind of success will they have? We heard it in Clint's two-minute drill. LSU baseball has made a change. They're going to play tonight, weather permitting, 7 o'clock against Texas A&M, which means the pregame show 6:30 here on 103.7 The Game, the first pitch at 7 o'clock, all weather permitting. And then with the outlook of weather on Sunday, LSU's opted to play a doubleheader starting at 1 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. So they'll play 2 7-inning games on Saturday. The most important thing is to get these games underway. Texas A&M with a 6-2-1 mark in the SEC West. LSU a half a game back at 6-3. We'll catch up with our good friend Ben McDonald in this hour and get his thoughts on LSU baseball. So at the same time as LSU baseball on Saturday at 1, a little bit down Nicholson Road, Nicholson Drive, and across the street in Tiger Stadium, LSU will hold its spring game. More importantly than the spring game itself is the recruits on hand to look at the event. Sonny Shipp of Go 247 Sports will join us in hour number two to detail a lengthy list of prospects. We won't go through all of them, but we'll touch on the most significant of those, and we'll go over the spring game itself. I think, you know, I really want to see the combination of Joe Burrow and this set of wide receivers. I want to see the new look and how much improvement has Miles Brennan made at the quarterback position. I want to see how these wide receivers have reacted to their new coach in Joe Brady. And I also want to see Derek Stingley Jr. Anybody that's compared to Patrick Peterson and Champ Bailey back in the day on defense and compared to Reggie Bush in the return game, well, I got to see this kid. And by all accounts, he has lived up to the billing. So we'll talk with Sonny Shipp about that. So we got a busy show planned for you and for yours. We're brought to you in part by Hooters. Hooters just makes you happy right there on Ambassador Caffrey Parkway. It's the all-new, newly renovated and improved Hooters. Don't forget, coming up in about 51 minutes, it's happy hour. Yes, indeed. And it's half-price happy hour from 3 to 6 with half-price margaritas, half-price wine by the glass, and half-price 14-ounce drafts. Yes, indeed. We still have our Sweet 15 special on. For $15, you get 15 boneless wings and a picture of Bud or Bud Light. Yes, indeed. So there you have it. Hooters just makes you happy. Speaking of college basketball, another vacancy has been filled with the Vanderbilt Commodores. Their new athletic director was running the G League of the NBA, and he's a firm believer in Jerry Stackhouse, the former North Carolina Tar Heel. Jerry Stackhouse named the new head coach of the Vanderbilt Commodores. So that news item for you and yours as well. So a busy, busy day planned for you and yours. Let me tell you what's coming up next. LSU Gymnastics, they're out there, and they are getting ready at 7 o'clock tonight to compete in the NCAA Gymnastics Regional. Lindenwood beat George Washington in the play-in meet yesterday. But there's real drama for LSU Gymnastics. We got some sick athletes, some hurt athletes. We'll go to Associate Head Coach Jay Clark and get the information that's needed as this gymnastics team goes out to try and get their first national title, and it all starts tonight in the NCAA Regional. Gymnastics leads us off. How about that? Next, here on the Jordy Helfrich Show on Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com. Come on back. The show gets rolling next. NCAA Regionals for the LSU Gymnastics program. They've had another season of great success, and the goal is to excel and advance to the NCAA Championships later this month in Fort Worth, Texas. To do that, LSU has to do very well tonight If they're one of the top two teams in their bracket, they will advance to Saturday and then beyond. Associate head coach Jay Clark, kind enough to join us. And, man, there's some things going on that out of your control. But thank you for some time on a very important day. We greatly appreciate it, buddy. How are you?
I'm good, man. You know, it's just one of those things you get this time of year. And like you said, it's out of your control. And these are the times where you got to practice what you preach to your kids.
All right, let's start off with your head coach, DeeDee Bro. She had to rush out of the door yesterday because her daughter had gone into labor with her second child. How is daughter and child, and how is grandmother?
They're all doing great. I think DeeDee was in a little bit of a fog yesterday, having been up all night with, you know, wondering when it was all going to happen. But little Rose Bro came into the world late yesterday afternoon, and everybody's doing well.
That is awesome. All right, now you just left a pregame meal, and I'm wondering how is Sarah Finnegan doing because your star, one of your stars, she's come down with the flu. She's been unable to practice. What's her status? Yeah.
Well, she's improved from yesterday. So I got a text from her. What's today? Friday. I got Wednesday night, and our trainer and doc got her tested, and she indeed had the flu. And yesterday we were getting her full of IV fluids and doing everything they can do possibly to try to shorten the life of that. And yesterday looked pretty bleak. Today looks a little better. She's feeling a little better. She looks a little weak, but mm-hmm. If there's ever been a kid who I trust from a mentality standpoint, it's her.
Right.
And so we're gonna put her out there and see what happens in warm-ups. And we've got kind of plan A, plan B, and plan C all ready to go. And the kids are all on board with what we might do. There's a good chance if we put her in sixth in the lineup. On beam and floor, and if the first five hit, we may not use her to try to save her energy for tomorrow, assuming that we can advance without needing her routine at the end.
So you can make a change during that one event at any point in time, correct?
Right. We can make a change in that spot up until that time. So it might be that, she's in the sixth spot. She's in the last spot on beam and floor going into this meet. That's our plan. And if the first five kids hit and we don't need a six score, we feel good about where we stand, we probably just won't go.
Gotcha.
But we've got to play that by ear. If you can't warm up well, then we got other kids ready to go in, and they know exactly where they'll be in the lineup. And so everybody's been briefed on what the plans are.
All right, Jay Clark, associate head coach, LSU Gymnastics, 7 o'clock tonight. They'll get their quest in the NCAA tournament underway. Now there's a fellow senior in Lexi Priestman who wrenched the bicep in practice yesterday that she hurt back on February 8th against Kentucky. So what's going on with her?
Well, it's a recurring thing that has happened. It's kind of it happened in her other shoulder, and we had her bicep tendon moved over. The best way to put it is that her bicep tendon is a little bit anatomically incorrect, and so when she gets over her head, there gets a with her arm, it gets a little bit of an impingement. And we were just going through a light workout yesterday, and she re-aggravated it. And so I don't know the status of her, but that'll be a meet time decision that we make with her if she can warm up. So we're juggling some things around, and you've touched on a couple of them. But Christina Desiderio rolled her ankle 2 days ago. And she'll probably do beam, but won't be able to do floor, which means we'll put Reagan Campbell and Sarah Edwards will be in the floor lineup, and we're confident that they'll be able to get the job done. So, yes, that old adage is kind of like New England Patriots, next man up. When you get these kind of things that happen, you just got to keep going, and the goals, the intentions and the goals don't change. We're just going to keep moving forward, and we've got every bit of confidence with every kid on our team that they'll be able to get it done.
That's why you tell him every day, be ready, because you never know, right? You're this close to being in the lineup, so prepare like you're going to be. And that's, like you said earlier, practice what you preach. Tell me about the field. You're the number 3 national seed. You've got 14th Auburn. You've got Arizona State And George Washington won the play-in meet yesterday. So tell me about those squads.
Well, Auburn, you know, Auburn got us early in the year when we went up there for our first road competition. And we didn't have a good day at all. And they're a very good, strong team. And so we certainly can't take anything for granted. I don't know a whole lot about Arizona State. I know that one of our former gymnasts, Caitlin Sopransky, is on their team, transferred out there and is with her sister. And they've had a great year for where they want to be right now. But we feel pretty good about where we sit with today. If we can just put a meet together, we should be in a good spot. Auburn will be the probably the biggest test tonight. And then should we advance to tomorrow, you've got Utah and Minnesota, both who are extremely talented teams.
Well, you've been scoring so well this season, and we've talked about it when you were on the show earlier this last month about just building up to the right point. It took a while. You had so many injuries early, and you got through that. Now you got some injuries late. Any correlation between the two that you can draw upon for your team?
I think that, you know, I think some of these things that are happening to us can be related to some of the things that occurred earlier in the year that we've been trying to manage and nurse all along, that, you know, the layperson on the outside looks at what we've been scoring and thinks everything's clicking along, but we've known that we've been walking a tightrope with some of these and trying to make sure they don't rear their head again. And you know, you do the best you can. You manage it, and we cut way back on numbers and training, and really just tried to be as efficient as possible. You know, there's a limit to how much you can cut back and still be effective when you hit the competition floor. So we've struck a good balance, and things have gone really well for the last month. And it just, for whatever reason, this week we had a couple of little things that popped up, but. Right. But nonetheless, you know, again, we no excuses. We got to get it done, and we think that we can advance, and we believe we can come out of this weekend, and we can heal up for a week. We'll be back close to, if not at full strength, right, by the time we get to Fort Worth, and so we're going to talk like that's where we're going, and that's where we're headed.
I got to believe that Finnegan and Priestman, they wouldn't be as good as they are if they weren't as competitive as they are. I got to believe you're going to have to have somebody hold them back to not compete tonight.
That's true. I mean, they're probably two of the most tough-minded kids that I've ever been around. And as even-keeled, and, you know, Sarah Finnegan's walking in today, and you can tell she's not herself, but she's... Mm-hmm. She's saying, I'm good, and I've got this, and, you know, and she's rallying her teammates and doing everything she can to get it going. So, you know, look, some of the best performances you've ever seen in your life have come with people that have had the flu or in it. And you know, I think of Michael Jordan in 45 against back in the day. And,
yeah.
And so these kinds of things, they're part of life, and we're certainly not the only team in the country that deals with these kinds of things, and we're not immune to it. So we just got to keep on plugging and full steam ahead.
I'm with you. Just curious, what's a gymnastics pregame meal consist of?
We do. We have a tradition that predates me. It's grilled chicken breast, some sort of rice or rice vegetable medley, and then steamed broccoli. We've added green beans, and actually today we had some we had some steak with it too in there. We got a little upgrade today. I don't know where that came from, but it was good. And so our nutritionist handles that, and it's supposed to be the perfect balance of protein and carbohydrates and everything you're supposed to want. It's the magic pill for success. So we're gonna so we ate well today, and we're gonna go in there and kick some butt.
There you go. You see, it's NCAA tournament time. That's why the steak comes in, man. You can't have that for every regular season meet. You gotta up it up when it counts. So, look,
yeah,
I know you're busy,
good.
Man.
No, I'm telling you, that steak was a welcome addition. Occasionally, that chicken get a little dry, and I had to drown it in special hot sauce. So that steak was a welcome addition for me today. I promise.
Oh, somebody like Cajun Chef Hot Sauce.
I don't miss many meals, so it's.
I hear you.
It was a welcome addition.
Just out of curiosity, if anyone has been foolish enough not to buy a ticket, are there any more tickets available for this thing?
There are. There are, Jordy. For whatever reason, you know, I think the regional thing, I think we get through the regular season, we average nearly 12,000 people, and it just seems to, the regional thing, for whatever reason, has been a little bit of a tough sell, but I do know there's a lot of good seats left. I think we sold probably 6,000 as of yesterday. And so there's plenty of good seats to get into the PMAC, and especially for people who haven't had season tickets and maybe they want to get a better seat, get in there and make a little noise for us. Because I'll tell you what, with where we are right now physically and everything, a good shot in the arm would be as many of our fans being in there and getting as loud as they could possibly be.
I think you're going to have a great walk-up crowd. I really, really do. Jay, thank you so much. I hope your girls, your athletes heal up and get well. All the best of luck, man. Go get them.
All right. I appreciate it, Jordy. Thanks for your time, and go Tigers.
All right. There you go. So there are tickets available, $6 to $10 for adults. So the 10 bucks are the best seats, $3 to $6 for the kiddos. And if you got a group of 25 or more, it's $3 a ticket. So just a thought. 7 o'clock tonight in the Pete Maravich Assembly Center. Across the street at 7 o'clock tonight, LSU baseball will be taking on Texas A&M. We're going to get an update on that. A&M's got some lefty pitchers. Nobody better to talk about pitching than our next guest, Ben McDonald, here on the Jordy Helpert Show on Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com.
The Blonde Bomber is back and better than ever as you are locked into the Jordy Hultberg Show on 1037 The Game, 1037thegame.com, and on the app.
All right, welcome back. LSU baseball getting ready to take on Texas A&M. As we said earlier, a change in plans. Weather permitting, they'll start tonight at 7 o'clock with Zach Hess on the mound. And then they're going to play two games on Saturday because Sunday looks like a bad weather day. They'll have Saturday the first game at 1 o'clock. That'll be Cole Henry. And then the next one will be after that with Eric Walker, like at 7 o'clock at night. Ben McDonald, the former All-American from LSU, the best pitcher in LSU baseball history as far as I'm concerned. Kind enough to join us. He's on the road, but he still has some thoughts about LSU, Texas A&M. Ben, man, I greatly appreciate it, buddy. Be safe as we talk on the phone, all right?
Oh, yeah, man. I'm just heading from Auburn over to Oxford right now to do it. But we got rained out last night. It's talking about the weather that's playing havoc here in the southeast, you know, this weekend. And so I'm heading over to Ole Miss. We got a doubleheader tomorrow because of rain in that situation. So just one to the other.
What happens with the rain out? They better still pay you, I hope. Right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. The way the rule works, if you make the trip to your destination, and, of course, you do all the prep work and everything, you still get paid for your game, you know.
Atta boy.
I wanted to call that game, but it is what it is. We can't control the weather, so it's just on to the next spot.
All right. Well, let's get your thoughts on LSU, Texas A&M. A&M 6-2-1, leading the West. LSU a half a game behind at 6-3. Zach Hess, he's great against Georgia. Then he gives up a bunch of stuff later on, so it's kind of up and down. But tell me about John Tatsakis, a junior left-hander that gets the ball tonight for A&M.
Yeah, look, he's he was in their weekend rotation last year, and he did pretty well last year. But he's turned into a different guy this year. A lot of those guys grew up, and he's matured. And John Tatsakis is turned into a real ace on Friday night. You know, he's got big-time stuff. He's left-handed, just like their number two guy is. Asa Lacy is left-handed, too. And they're two of the best left-handers in the SEC, Jordy. And when you talk about pitching, you talk about Texas A&M. They're number one pitching staff in the SEC. They're second in strikeouts. They're second in fewest walks as well. And so they really can pitch it. That is the strength of their staff. Rob Childress, their head coach, does a wonderful job. He's got a, you know, a great pitching background. That's his specialty. And he's got some real studs, and he's got some guys at the back end of the bullpen that are really good as well.
Yeah, another stud is going to be their Saturday first game starter, Asa Lacy, 5-0 with a 1.48 ERA, 68 strikeouts. He leads the league in that, and 16 walks. So, man, they got a bunch of lefties on this squad.
Yeah, they do, and that's a concern for me for LSU because, as you know, Jordy, LSU's lineup is left-handed heavy.
Yep.
You know, the good news is LSU's only hitting about 10 points less versus lefties than they do right-handed pitching this year, but still it's 10 points left. I mean, even less. When you got John Smith and Duplantis and Cabrera and Willis is now in there and, you know, others that will be there, I mean, it's a left-handed heavy lineup for LSU. So it concerns me a lot about having to face these two left-handers from Texas A&M for sure. The good news for LSU is the offense for Texas A&M is very average, Jordy. It's just an average offense. It can beat you. But they also got some key guys that are down right now. I mean, Hunter Coleman, one of their veteran guys at first base, is hurt. He will not play at all. He's got a broken arm. Bryce Blom, their second baseman, may not play. And Horner, their catcher, just went down with a groin issue. And he is iffy for this weekend for Wyoming State. So LSU may catch a break in that department. So runs may be hard to come by. You know, LSU pitches well, they'll have a chance to win two out of three.
You mentioned some key players for A&M out. We've been told now that left fielder Daniel Cabrera will not play this weekend. He's still dealing with a wrist injury. That puts the freshman out there. Gosh, what's his name? Giovanni DiGiacomo, whatever. Have you been impressed with him?
Yeah, I really am. I mean, look, he was supposed to be the starting center fielder this time last year for LSU. They thought Zach Watson would sign and go and start his professional career. He ends up coming back to school. So DiGiacomo's kind of been like the fourth outfielder and DH guy as of late because, you know, the bat's been working for him. He's hitting over 300. But from a running standpoint, a fielding, look, LSU's defense, Walker, is really good out there. DiGiacomo's even better because he's a little faster and he's got a little bit better arm. So from a defensive standpoint, it doesn't hurt LSU not even a little bit. Now, offensively, you take one of your better hitters and Cabrera, a guy that can change the game in one swing. We know that. And now DiGiacomo's going to play left field. And, of course, he'll hit. He's been hitting anyway. So to get somebody else from a DH standpoint an opportunity to get in there, you got to think it's probably going to be – I don't know if he goes back with Saul Gardner at DH. I don't know if he, you know, if he gives Bianco a chance again against these left-handers because LSU needs a right-handed bat, Jordy. They got to get Bianco going. Hopefully, Dugas, who's been hurt, will eventually come back. He's on the right-handed side as well. But it's going to be interesting to see who Paul decides to put at the DH position now.
30 years ago, you remember anything that happened between LSU and Texas A&M?
Man, I was hoping to get to do that series, but I just have to go where they tell me to go. But, yes, I remember 30 years ago and us playing A&M back in 89 and knocking them off. And I always like to do some A&M LSU stuff because it brings back pretty fond memories, to be honest with you. But it didn't work out, but I'll be watching it really close, you know, and I'll be keeping up as best I can. But, yeah, I mean, Jordy, it's hard to believe it's been 30 years ago. I know it's your basketball career, and it was a great one you had at LSU. You look back on some stuff, and you can't believe it's been that many years ago. You know, it's hard to believe it was back 30 years ago. But hey, man, we're all still here. We can talk about it now. We can't play it anymore, but at least we can talk about it. And I still got the memories. That's one of those things that you're not going to ever forget.
And just for those people that may not know this, LSU had to take on top-ranked A&M twice on the final day of the NCAA Central Regional in College Station, Texas. They beat them twice and advanced to the College World Series. That had to be one of the more memorable moments team-wise that you'd ever been a part of.
Well, no doubt about that. I mean, you know, Coach Bergman calls that his sixth national title, you know, because A&M was so good that year. They were 55-5 and clearly the best team in the country by a mile. Like, they were supposed to go ahead and get through the regional and go to Omaha and win the national title. You know, they were that good. Everybody had them picked. I'll tell you how good they were, Jordy. We knocked them out to go to Omaha, and yet at the end of the year, the rankings, they still ranked A&M number two team in the country, only behind – yeah, because they were that. They didn't even make it to Omaha. That's how good they were. So, you know, we were. That's before they had the regionals. It was just one big regional with eight teams in it. You know, whatever, right. six of them. And so we felt like we were really good that year. We were ranked number five or six. We were hoping to get the host a regional at home. Not only did we not get the host, they sent us to A&M. And
wow.
So we had
Thanks
to knock them off twice in the same day. And somehow we did it, you know, with a really good team, a lot of want to. Coach Bergman pushed all the right buttons and all that kind of stuff. And so it was very memorable for us to get the experience of that.
Who was the guy, who was their main player that year, A&M?
Well, they had Chuck Knoblauch, who had a nice, really nice big yeah. league career, John Byington, a lot. There was another guy, I can't call his name, that played in the big leagues too. So they had some big leaguers on that team, but it was just a team that, with those old backstory, they could really swing, and they led the nation. I think they averaged 11 runs a game that year, you know. And the pitching wasn't great for them, but it was good enough to get them where they were because they scored so many runs, you know. It was a good time, and, you know, those A&M fans, they still have not forgotten 89.
Yes.
Because they'll tell you,
yes.
anybody there will tell you, that was still the best team that they ever had in the history of their time.
And on that final day, that was awesome. Back to this game. You mentioned the concern lefty pitchers against lefty hitters. What do you think LSU approach at the plate has to be successful against these really good left-handed pitchers?
Well, I mean, my concern for LSU is they really turned the corner offensively at Mississippi State last weekend, right? I mean, they scored double-digit runs the last two games. They had a little comeback in game one. It fell a little bit short. So the bats really came to life, and I thought they were getting over the hump. But then in the middle of the week games this week, look, you win 1-0, and I think 2-0. You end up scoring 3 runs in 2 games against very average pitching. And so I'm concerned again. You know, now the good news is, the pitching staff threw back-to-back shutouts for the first time since 2017. So I like where the pitching's going. The pitching seems to continue to be rounding into shape. Although it's depleted a little bit, it's still rounding into shape. It's looking good. But the offense is just kind of hit and miss. It's back and forth right now. And, you know, when you talk about Asa Lacy and Doc Zakis, both of them have really good fastballs. They both have good breaking balls. And for me, for LSU, is I think the key for them is to be aggressive on some fastballs early. Try not to get to those breaking balls and those off-speed pitches that are so good. Because Texas A&M, if they're on target like they are, they're not going to walk you. Like 86 walks on the season is all they have. That's the second best in the SEC. So I think you got to kind of look for your pitch early in your spot. If you get it, you better not miss it, you know. And so it's going to be interesting.
And take it opposite field, right? Don't try and pull the darn thing.
That's right, and I think that's going to be a challenge because lefty on lefty, it's really hard to do that. And you know, Antoine Duplantis throughout his career has hit lefties better than righties, so I'm not worried about him. He seems to be really coming out of the little funk that he was in, you know. And there's some others that have matched up. DiGiacomo's done pretty well against some lefties this year. So I think LSU will have its chances, but I don't think, Jordy, they're going to score a lot of runs in this series. I don't. It's going to be key for the pitching, for Hess, you know, to go out, and Cole Henry to go out, and Walker, and of course, the back end of that bullpen. LSU's going to have to win some of these games, I really think, 3-1 and 5-4 and 3-2, those types of ball games. You know, unless somebody gets lucky and hits a home run, three-run homer that changes the game, I just don't think there's going to be a lot of runs scored this thing.
Ben, thank you for your time, buddy. I greatly appreciate it. Safe travels.
Anytime, Jordy. Take care of yourself.
All right, we'll take a timeout. We'll come back. Rudy Macklin joins us next.
There's only one place you'll find all of the movers, the shakers, and Tigers newsmakers. And it's right here on the Jordy Helfer Show on 103.7 The Game.
Welcome back as we continue on this Friday edition of the Jordy Helfer Show. Always a pleasure to bring in my good friend and has a great mind when it comes to basketball. That's my teammate, the all-time leading rebounder in LSU basketball history, second leading scorer in LSU basketball history, my buddy Rudy Macklin. Mac, how are you, my friend?
Hey, I'm doing great. I saw you was he was jamming on that Shalimar just a minute ago.
Yeah, how about that? Bringing back the old days, my friend. Absolutely.
Yeah, I love it. Sounds great.
Yes, indeed. It appears now that after nearly a month, since LSU placed Will Wade on suspension, there's some movement being made toward a potential reinstatement. He's hired an attorney who happens to represent Sean Miller and Bruce Pearl, who have both been under the NCAA investigation's spotlight. Okay. What is your thought process on this latest development?
Well, thing is about it, you have to always put the integrity of the institution ahead of everybody else, ahead of the coaches, administration. It's what's best for the institution down the line. Being that what Coach Wade went through and the conversations that he had on tape, you know, engaging in some type of unethical behavior, mm-hmm. how would that go with the NCAA? What are they going to do?
All right.
So what's going to happen when he tries to recruit, if he gets reinstated? What are the other coaches around the country going to be saying?
They're going
to be throwing out all kind of negative things to the players and saying, don't go there, the program's in disarray. You know, all the things that I experienced when I was being recruited by LSU because it was, you know, last at the SEC and the coach about to get fired. I heard all these negative things, you know, in my head. And it's going to be hard to get this program back off the ground with a coach that's been reinstated after having so much baggage. And so it'd be interesting to see what the LSU Tigers do, what the University of Louisville did. They just cleaned house, started over, brought in some coaches right away so they can try to recruit, and they did fairly well. They made it to the tournament. They had a real decent season. But they were proactive, you know, when they were going through the deal with Rick Pitino and some of the other coaches. And so it'd be interesting to see what LSU does because with everybody, you got a mass exodus going on now, players.
Yeah.
And it's going to be hard to get to recruit great talent. And so it's going to take probably a generation to get this program back together. It's going to take a very special player or players to ignore LSU's past and buy into the fact that, you know, you can try to rebuild a program. So it's going to be very, very tough.
Yeah, in case you're just joining us, Cavell Bigby Williams' eligibility has run out. Naz Reid was the first underclassman to declare for the NBA draft, followed by Tremont Waters, and now junior Skylar Mays has declared for the draft. They can come back if he doesn't hire an agent or whatever and play his senior season, but that's four members of your starting five gone. So, again, the early signing period is April 17th. This federal trial is February 22nd, but at least there seems to be, because of this new attorney out of Chicago, there appears to be some movement going on here, and maybe there'll be a quicker resolution to this story rather than it lingering on and on and on and on in whatever direction it goes. We hear so many rumors, and I'm not here to comment and speculate on rumors. And I know you aren't as either because you've got your people that are telling you stuff. We've got some of the same people, and there's all kind of stuff flying out there. And until it's on paper, in pen, then I'm just going to leave that all alone. Were you surprised of any of the three, Reid, Waters, Mays, opting to go to the NBA draft? Anything surprise you about that?
I was surprised about Mays going.
Yeah, me too.
He has a pretty decent game, but I didn't see him at the time during this time as a real, you know, NBA prospect that would make those two rounds in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
But I know Waters, he's probably the most kind of NBA ready, as far as, you know, but his size can be a question mark, but he can still get his shot off and he hits open jump shots.
Yeah. Reid, he's six. About Waters, you know, nobody can guard Russell Westbrook and Kyrie Irving and James Harden. Nobody stops those guys. So I understand what you're saying, and I agree totally, but, you know, those superstars, I don't care if you put the greatest defender on them, they still can't shut him down. But I'm curious, because he's a big, I'm curious as to your thoughts of Naz Reid.
I think he has a great upside. I still wish he would stay another year or two. My philosophy is all players should stay 4 years. But his base, you know, his leg strength, he doesn't have real good hops. He gets pushed too far off the low block every time he posts up. He has a pretty decent stroke from the outside. His ball handling is pretty decent. But because of his lack of strength in his legs, and he can use some more upper body strength, the power forwards in the NBA, man, they are brutal. Okay? They are brutal.
Yeah.
he'll probably have time to develop that. You know, the NBA, they draft potential now anyway. You don't have to be NBA ready. But I think he has a better upside than all the others because of his ability. He has a good IQ for the game. And but if he could just improve his leg strength and upper body strength, and I think he'll be fine. But as far as Waters, you comparing them to the other small explosive guards in the league, you just don't know.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
You just don't know until you get there. Because my thing was, he played against a watered-down SEC league. I didn't see a bunch of real guards that can really, in the SEC, that can deal with him. And when he stepped out of the SEC, you know, then he seemed to kind of had his little troubles. But he played fairly well throughout the season. I wish he would stay. I wish all players would stay 4 years because there's something about playing a senior and then going into the NBA with a mentality that you're seasoned. You seem to be more relaxed. The game has slowed down a little bit more. You have time to work on your skills those 4 years to get ready. And the NBA tends to favor guys who spent 4 years in college. They tend to favor those guys pretty much. And so I'd like to see all guys stay 4 years, but I wish these guys luck. I wish they would stay, but yeah. I understand they have to do what they have to do.
I wonder what they're telling Emmett Williams and Darius Days. I wonder how that's all. I don't know. You know what I mean? I just don't know.
They would stay. It wouldn't hurt them if they would stay. Uh-huh. It would not, because they both need work on their games.
No doubt.
So why not stay in a program that you're going to rebuild and they can build it around you? Okay? And so it would be best if they stayed. Okay? And so let the program be rebuilt around them. And then stay those other 3 years and go on to the NBA from there. So it would be a benefit to them if they stayed.
Rudy Macklin, kind enough to join us here. Your thoughts on the Final Four? You've got Virginia versus Auburn in the first game on Saturday, and then you've got Michigan State and Texas Tech. Any thoughts on those games?
I like Michigan State. Okay, those are grown men out there. I mean, you know, those guys, they got some seniors and juniors out there, man. Those guys stayed.
Yeah,
and they're grown men. And I like Virginia. I think they'll be a little bit too much for Auburn because I think Auburn this time is going to miss Kiki, their best player.
Uh-huh.
They're going to miss him this game.
I think so, too. Yeah.
They're going to miss. So I'm going to look for Virginia and Michigan State in the finals, and I'm going to go with Michigan State to win it all.
All right. I'm going to go with the same two, and I'm going to go against you on this one. I just think it's Virginia's time. And I'm going with the Cavaliers. We shall see. Rudy Mack, real quickly, I know you've got the governor's games going on, and Lafayette will be well represented in this. You've got a basketball tournament going on there.
I got two. I got
two.
The boys' basketball is at Delario Center in West Wego, and we got the girls' basketball at Northside High School in Lafayette.
There you
and
go.
So I'm going to be busy going back and
well, it'll be well run. There'll be some really good talent out there, you make the governor proud. So thank you for your time. I know you're busy. We appreciate you carving out a couple of minutes with us, and have a great weekend, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
All right, buddy. You take care of yourself. All right, that's going to wrap up hour number one. A busy hour number two coming your way, LSU spring football. More on the Final Four and the draft status of these current LSU players. All coming your way in hour number two. This is the Jordy Helfrich Show on Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game. We'll be right back.
Live from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
Tigers pull off another miracle.
This is Acadiana's sports station, 103.7 The Game. Streaming live on the 103.7 The Game mobile app and online at 103.7thegame.com.
He struck him out, and the Tigers have won.
This is the Jordy Hultberg Show. Get involved and call 337-706-0111. Follow along at 103.7 The Game on Facebook and Twitter. And now it's time. Here's your host, Jordy Hultberg.
All right, hour number two of two. Happy Friday, April 5th, to you and yours. 1 hour till the weekend for this group. And we're looking forward to what a busy, busy weekend it will be. We'll have a preview of the LSU spring game with Sonny Shipp of Go 247 Sports and more on the Final Four, more on the draft status, more on the Pelicans and their search for a general manager coming up as well. A busy second hour. But as we do each and every day at this time of day, let's get busy. Time to take our daily walk around the sports water cooler. CD, hit that button.
It's Friday. That means we get you ready for the weekend ahead with five,
one, two, three, four, five
big questions headed into your weekend. Now let's get it going with your Friday 5 edition of Hot Topics.
All right, CD, we got five to handle. Let's go with number one. All right, Fire away.
We got to start things off hot, Jordy, with the LSU spring game. We're going to preview it next with Sonny Shipp. But guess what, Jordy? I want you to give me the player you're most excited to see in tomorrow afternoon's glorified practice, but still pretty darn important.
I got to go with Stingley, the defensive back, the number one cornerback in the country. I want to see him man up against Jamar Chase or Justin Jefferson or whoever it may be. I just want to see the guy get a pick and take it to the house. That's what I want to see.
I think everybody is looking forward to seeing him in the purple and gold tomorrow representing LSU for the first time. I mean, the guy has got a lot of hype. I was talking with Brett Indes a while back during the football season before they had to take his team on. He mentioned that he was probably one of the best high school football players he had ever seen since Kevin Falk, Jordy. And that's definitely saying something. Bold predictions right there. But I think Derek Stingley is the one everybody is looking forward to. But now I want to jump over to LSU basketball for a minute, Jordy, because there's a lot of interesting things going on right now, of course. Yesterday we talked about Naz Reid declaring for the NBA draft. I want to just stick strictly with the NBA draft, Jordy. But who's the more surprising player to declare for the draft in your mind, Skylar Mays or Tremont Waters?
Skylar Mays. I think Tremont Waters tested the waters a year ago, and I think he's ready to go. Although he's still going to class, Naz Reid is already back up in New Jersey. He's done. Tremont Waters going to class. Skylar Mays going to class. I'm surprised by Skylar Mays, to be honest with you, but I think both have a chance. I think all three of them have a chance to play a role for an NBA team. They may have to go to the G League. Maybe Tremont Waters has to go overseas for a little. I don't know, but I think they all have a chance to eventually end up playing for an NBA team, particularly Skylar Mays, because he's such a good guy in the locker room, such a leader. But I was surprised Skylar Mays opted to go right now. I really was.
Yeah, Jordy, I have to agree with you. And according to Cody Worsham, he threw this up earlier today. You're talking about this NBA draft, these players declaring for it and getting representation. Well, there's new rules, if you didn't know about those invited to combine can return to school, even if they go undrafted. So that could wind up being an interesting thing if you don't see Skylar Mays or Waters both get drafted, or let's say they wind up just getting short. Because we mentioned it yesterday, this is a pretty stacked class.
Well, yeah, that and the other new rule of significance is you can have an agent.
Yep.
And you can come back to school. Now, the agent can give you meals and that type of stuff. But if you're not drafted, you can come back. That's the other big new rule change. So, yes. So we'll see. We'll see.
But again, if your name's on a wedding registry, you cannot be a part. You cannot take wedding gifts as part of a, because the NCAA doesn't allow it, which is dumb. Again, we talked about it a little bit yesterday.
Aren't a lot of BYU players married? That's never been an issue, but it just so happens Virginia's in the Final Four.
Yeah.
So, of course, with success comes issues.
Well, I mean, most of them are probably Mormon, Jordy, so I don't think they would deal with as much gifts. I don't know what the Mormon culture is like, so don't pin it on me.
But maybe they have multiple wives and multiple wedding registries. I don't know.
All right, Jordy, hopping over to some SEC basketball news. It finally became official. It was definitely bantied about over the last week about Jerry Stackhouse potentially being the head coach of Vanderbilt Hoops, and now it's official, Jordy.
Yeah.
He's going to be coaching the G League previously. Is that a solid signing for a team that's looking to do a lot like what LSU did, go from the bottom to at least contending in the conference?
We'll see if he can recruit and sign players. That's the main thing. Will Wade did. And, of course, that's under scrutiny, but can Stackhouse do it? It's a big difference with the G League, but that's where the athletic director cut his teeth. He was running the G League. And so he likes Stackhouse. So we'll see. And some people believe that if Stackhouse can do well at Vandy, maybe, just maybe, he is going to be the guy that replaces Coach Williams at North Carolina. Time will tell. Time will tell.
I have to agree with you, Jory. Time will tell to see what Jerry Stackhouse winds up doing. But you have to think that brand name is going to wind up making people a lot more interested. Mind you, a lot of the players that are going to be recruited over there, they probably didn't grow up watching as much Stackhouse as maybe you or I wound up watching a lot of him back in the day.
Yeah, I remember with Antoine Jameson and all North Carolina, they were good. But remember now, there are different standards for getting into North Carolina than there are at Vanderbilt. So that's a tough place to recruit, but let's give them a shot and see what happens.
I have to agree with you, Jordy. And looking over, kind of some news concerning the AAF, Jordy. Steve Spurrier, the old ball coach, feels like he got the itch back to being a coach on a more consistent basis. Do you think Steve Spurrier is going to coach again after retiring a couple years ago at South Carolina, and then he winds up getting the bug just a little bit at the AAF, but he really showed they can still be a pretty solid coach with the Apollos?
I know he doesn't want to recruit anymore. I know the NFL's not going to give him a chance, but is there a team in the XFL in Florida somewhere? Because if that's the case, there's your man.
Well,
there's your man.
They have one in Tampa, Jordy, but of course everybody's been talking about it. Maybe this was all the long con that Vince McMahon wanted, because who wouldn't love to see an Orlando-Tampa Bay rivalry in the XFL?
Yeah, why not? Why not? I mean, heck yeah. But I think Spurrier, if the price is right, he'll do it. He'll do it, but the price has to be right.
Exactly, Jordy. The price has to be right. And I think Vince McMahon can definitely do it after I got Bob Stoops to be the head coach and the GM of one of the teams.
They told me he's reportedly worth $3 billion, Vince McMahon.
That sounds about
That's
right,
unbelievable.
Jordy. Well, he just got paid like $1 billion for the rights to SmackDown on Fox on Friday night starting in October. Wow. And also, they just added an hour-long studio show they're going to be doing on Tuesday nights. That's a different topic.
You and Cody Schutz ought to be in charge of that thing with y'all's podcast.
The 20 by 20 Programs podcast. You need to check it out on iTunes. You can check it out through our podcast feed. It is, simply put, fantastic.
Brilliant part on there, brilliant marketing on them to have the SmackDown with the females ending the show. That's just brilliant. They just know what to do. They know how to do it.
Exactly, Jordy. When you have Ronda Rousey, you need to put her in the main event. It is probably the smartest thing they could have done.
Yeah.
Also, doesn't hurt having Ric Flair's daughter in there. A lot of name notoriety. It's just simply put fantastic.
See, I listen. I watch this stuff. I listen.
I think you just wound up catching up on the latest 20 by 20 Progress podcast last night before the show. But 30 seconds, Jordy, last one. Is this the most unpredictable Final Four you can think of? Because it's very much anybody's game.
Yeah, all four have a legit shot to win it. And we'll see. I can't wait to watch it starting tomorrow. I still think it's going to be Virginia versus Michigan State, and I still think Virginia wins it all. We'll see. There's your Hot Topics, brought to you by the best hot sauce on the planet, Cajun Chef. Bring a little small bottle of Cajun Chef hot sauce with you wherever you go, because everything tastes better with Cajun Chef on it. Sonny Shipp, previews, spring game next.
Topics and dousing them in gasoline. It's the Jordy Hultberg Show on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
All right, we welcome you back. A very, very busy weekend on the campus of LSU, and it's right there in the middle on Saturday, starting at 1 o'clock. Is the LSU spring football game. I don't know what's more important, the actual game itself. I'm going to answer the question myself. It's not that. It's what kind of recruits are going to be there to watch this thing. That's so important. So I thought I'd call on the expert, the leader of Go247 Sports, the veteran, Mr. Sonny Shipp. Sonny, good afternoon, my friend. How are you?
Good. How's it going, Jordy?
It's going great. So let's talk about the game itself. I'm curious to see. I know they're not going to show much. It's going to be very bland. But I'm curious to see how much better Joe Burrow and even how much better Miles Brennan is in this LSU football program. How about you?
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think, you know, one thing that I think fans will be able to see, even though Ed Orgeron has already stated they're not going to open the playbook up much, they're not going to show much, is fans should get a snapshot of, I think, what the offense will look like in 2019 from the standpoint of you'll probably see a lot of hurry up. And you saw some of it last year, but I think you'll see more of it in the sense of where the receivers catch the ball, everybody's hustling up to get back to the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
They're not just going no huddle. You're actually going to see a lot more of the of a faster-paced offense. And so I think that's something that'll come that you'll be able to see. And also think you'll be able to see Joe Burrow and Miles Brennan have a little bit more chemistry with the wide receivers than they had last year. Drop passes were kind of a problem last year. I think they've gotten, you know, from talking to sources, they've gotten a little bit better from that standpoint. But I think you'll see Burrow in being able to anticipate more, and just that overall connection being a little more sound. And I think you'll be able to see a little more cohesive offensive line with four guys back. Adrian McGee slotting into that left guard spot that Garrett Brumfield held last year. I think you'll be able to see a little bit of improvement with the offensive line, even though it's going to be going up against a battered and bruised and defensive line that's really, really, really got hit by the injury bug during the spring.
He is Sonny Shipp, Go 247 Sports. Back to the offense, and you mentioned the cohesiveness. That's got to improve with the wide receivers, with Jamar Chase and Terrace Marshall, Justin Jefferson, and all. I'm curious to see how Joe Brady, the new wonderkind that came over from the New Orleans Saints, and how he's worked with this passing attack since former passing game coordinator Jerry Sullivan retired.
Yeah, all of that. Yeah, and something to keep in mind, too, is that when Joe Burrow got there during the summer, Joe Burrow, he spent a lot of time throwing with the receivers, but at the same time, he's also trying to learn the offense. He's trying to learn the offense. He's trying to learn the playbook. The receivers, you have a young, inexperienced receiving core. They're trying to do the same thing. Whereas this spring was all about incorporating some new aspects of the offense, incorporating some new plays, some new philosophies, but they were able to build off of what they worked on last year too. And that's just going to continue to get better this summer. They're not going to, you know, they're going to be doing some install, but it's going to be a lot of reinforcement as opposed to opening up that playbook and saying, okay, let's go out and let's run this. Now they're going to know what they're doing. You're going to see a lot less thinking. And you know, like I do from playing college basketball, from playing sports all your life, when you don't have to think as much and it becomes second nature, you play a lot faster, you're a lot quicker, you're a lot more explosive, and you're able to actually get out there and play the game rather than having to dissect it so much.
Mm-hmm. Sonny Shipp, Go 247 Sports. You're absolutely correct on that. And look, I think the other thing that people really want to take a look at that go to this game that has a vested interest in this is to look at the kid who's been compared to Patrick Peterson and Champ Bailey, whose own coach compared him to Reggie Bush in the return game, and that is a kid who's been in the spotlight since he was 15 years old, and that's Derek Stingley Jr. It's his public debut in an LSU uniform. What have you heard? What have you seen? And what were your thoughts coming out of high school about this kid?
Well, whenever you rank the number one cornerback in the country and you go out and you do it in every camp setting, you back it up in every camp setting, every 7-on-7 show setting, you back it up all the way through your senior year with just fantastic numbers, you're going to come in with very high expectations. And that's exactly what Stingley comes into. Not to mention it helps when Greedy Williams declares for the NFL draft, Christian Fulton is injured for much of the spring. So that's able to get new cornerbacks on the field. And with Stingley, he picked up right where he left off from high school. I mean, we've heard the stories about how when he practiced for the bowl prep, how good he was then. But I think that I think an element that Derek Stingley's really going to bring to this team that you're not going to be able to get a full appreciation for at the spring game is his ability to make game changing plays as a punt returner. They'll punt the ball, he'll field it, but there's not going to be any live punt returns. But come September, come October and November, he's going to be a big weapon back there. He's going to be a big weapon, just like Patrick Peterson was, just like DJ Chark was a couple of years ago. And quite frankly, that was an element of the LSU special teams department last year that was really lackluster. You know, it just left a lot to be desired. No offense to Jonathan Giles, but he just didn't have the speed. He didn't have the quickness. Then he lost any bit of confidence that he had going into the season. He started second guessing himself. It got to a point to where you were just hoping that he was able to field the punt cleanly and that you didn't have any issues right there, much less make a play to where you pick up 15, 20, 25 yards or have a chance to take it to the house. Derek Stingley is going to give them that reliability back there in fielding the punts, but he's also going to be a huge weapon as far as his ability to eat up yards and to be a threat to take it to the house.
Well, Sonny Shipp and Go247 Sports make a living talking about recruiting, and I'm get very curious as to the number of recruits, the big names. What should we anticipate on those sidelines this weekend?
Yeah, there's a long list of guys who's going to be coming in, and one of my partners in crime, Shay Dixon, he posted a list earlier today. It'd be impossible for me, and we would bore your listeners with that complete list. But yeah, You've got some big guys coming in. You've got some big name guys coming in. You know, you've got a large contingent from California coming in. Elias Ricks, the number one cornerback in the country for this 2020 class. He's already committed to LSU on Christmas Day. He's coming in with four-star. He's rated as an athlete right now, but I think he's going to play outside linebacker in college. Jaden Navarette's coming in with him. You know, when you have these big recruiting events like this, everyone wants to know, okay, who's on commit watch? Who's on commit watch? And I think Jaden Navarette is a guy you could look at. He visited the last weekend in January. He came in, spent a week in Louisiana, attended a camp over outside of Lake Charles. Then he spent probably about 6 hours visiting LSU. Picked up his offer, had a really, really good visit. And he's a guy that, from talking to some sources out west, he's a guy that I would not be shocked at all if he left here committed to LSU. You start looking at some other guys. There's another four-star outside linebacker out of Alabama. And, man, I hate it when I see these names that I'm going to butcher, but I'm going to go ahead and do it. Demoy Kennedy, D-E-M-O-U-Y. Now,
Demoy.
You know,
Demoy.
Take your best shot at that.
Demoy. Yeah.
But he's a guy, this will actually be about his fourth visit this spring. He's made the trip over, come to several scrimmages, attended Junior Day. He's coming back here for the spring game. He's another guy that, you know, when you go through recruiting, recruits say a lot of stuff. They say a lot of stuff to a lot of schools, but you can really look at his actions and see. And when you have a guy from out of state who's made the trip over on his own dime this many times, that shows you how sincere his interest is in LSU. Yeah. And so he's another guy that it would not surprise me at all if he left town as an LSU Tiger as well. Then you go down the list, you've got Jacobian Guillory, the big four-star nose tackle out of Alexandria. He's slated to come in. And then, you've got several guys from the state of Texas who's coming in. Alec Bryant, who's already committed. He's coming in with several high-profile DBs. So it's really shaping up to be a big weekend for LSU on the recruiting front. And it's good to see that the weather, you know, I know the weather was bad yesterday in Baton Rouge. It's bad, going to be bad on Friday. But Saturday they're going to have a break in the weather, and I think that's going to allow them to really be able to take advantage of all the recruiting activities that will be surrounding the spring game.
Sonny, is that kid from U High, the big lineman who was committed to LSU and then decommitted, Is he expected to be on campus as well? I forget his name.
Yeah, Jaqueline Roy. A little bit of uncertainty on that end. At one point he said he was, then another point that he said he wasn't, that he was going to be going somewhere else. But you've got some other spring games and all going on this weekend.
Sure.
So, when you have guys who have already been on campus two or three times in the last couple of months and they want to go check out another spring game, I know like Ja'Kai Douglas, the four-star wide receiver out of Terrebonne High School, he's going to be making a trip to Florida. And so you've got some other spring games that these kids are going to take advantage of to getting away to go see and stuff. So, if they're not there, I don't consider it, that big of a slight.
Sonny, thank you so much for the time. Enjoy the spring game. I got the gold team. I'll give you the purple team, and we'll just see what happens. You get the steak if you win. I get the red beans and rice if I lose. I can't lose either way because I like them both, buddy. Anyway, thank you so much.
Wait a minute. When did it get upgraded to red beans and rice?
What is it?
I thought Saban did the beanie weenies.
Beanie weenies? I like those, too.
Beans.
Okay, I like those,
yeah,
too.
Man.
I'll take either way.
She's getting off good that way.
Well, I got to upgrade a little bit. All right, Sonny. Take care, my friend. Thank you.
Have a good one, buddy.
All right, you too. Sonny Ship, go to 247 Sports. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back with more. This is the Jordy Helfrich Show. 1037 The Game, 1037thegame.com.
NBC Sports Radio.
Never play cards with a guy whose last name is Estate. Don't spit into the wind. And always get your sports talk from the Jordy Helfrich Show. Live and local. 1037 The Game.
All right, welcome back to the Jordy Helfrich Show, 1037 The Game, 1037thegame.com. So much going on with basketball. We've got LSU players declaring for the draft. We got the Final Four. We got the Pelicans interviewing multiple candidates for their vacant general manager's role. So only one guy I know that can cover all the topics with me, and that's my good friend Mr. Henry Hayes, basketball junkie, and he's kind enough to join us. Henry, you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. So I'm curious. You're big into the draft. Three LSU players, Naz Reid, Tremont Waters, and now just today, Skylar Mays has declared that they want to go and test the waters into the NBA. So what are your thoughts on all of them? What do you think they all three will be drafted in the two-round draft? Or what is your expectation there?
So let's start with, I think, the most probable, Jordy, and we'll go backwards. I think Naz Reid has the best chance to be a first rounder. This is a guy who we knew coming from New Jersey when he signed with LSU, this was going to be his course. This is one of those guys that had the rules changed, would have seriously considered coming straight from high school to go to the NBA. Now, that doesn't mean he necessarily would have been successful, but he probably would have tested those waters. So he comes to LSU, and I think it's safe to say that the player he is today wasn't the player that he started this year out as, and he's improved. A lot of people will say Naz isn't ready, but that's not how the NBA looks at prospects these days. They're buying on the come, and there's a lot to like with Naz Reid. I mean, you're talking about a guy who is, with his length, his athleticism, and his ability to shoot the basketball at a young age. Those are things that the NBA wants. And ironically, I think Naz might actually be in a good spot here because I think he's going to go in the late 20s, which is the first round. And, of course, the teams that are drafting in the late 20s, those are your Houstons, your Milwaukees, your San Antonios, your Torontos. So, as you know, Jordy, having covered the Hornets, so much of the NBA is about fit.
Right.
Does the player get in the right organization? Do they have the right coach? Do they have the right system? Do they want him to play right away? Do they not want him to play right away? So let's say guys got drafted by the Milwaukee Bucks. You know, Budenholzer's the coach there. He's changed things dramatically. He's a young player like Giannis Antetokounmpo. You know, he'd be an eighth, ninth man, 4-year contract, room to grow. They don't need him to be a 15-point-a-game guy, which he wouldn't be. So he might, with a little luck, actually be in a really good spot. But I think he is a back-end first-rounder based on his measurables and his grades.
Okay. Tremont Waters. Everybody talks about size, and I've said this before. You know, defensively, sure, but even if he was 6'4", he's not going to stop Russell Westbrook. He's not going to stop James Harden. Those guys are just too good regardless. So what are his chances in your book?
Yeah, and Tremont, for all the attributes, Jordan, all the skill, boy, he can do some things that just very few people can do. You know, his movement with the basketball, you know, us gym rats like me and you call it the fact that he's got it on a string, the yo-yo, right? The ball goes where he goes. That's really, really hard to do at the speed with which he does it. The problem is when he gets in bare feet, he's probably going to measure between 5'8 and 5'9. Mm-hmm. You got to understand, if you do a scan of NBA rosters today, you don't have anybody close to playing at that size in the league. And the reason is because coaches have gotten so good, Jordy, at isolating those guys on the defensive set and burying them in the post. And we saw this. I said this on your show multiple times. When the Cleveland Cavaliers with LeBron played the Boston Celtics last year in the playoffs, Terry Rozier was starting and playing a lot of minutes for the Celtics because Kyrie was hurt. Well, the Cavs would purposely switch out those screens and bury Rozier and got a Rozier 6'2". All right, so he's not a small guy. Right. And they went after him time and time and time. And Rozier couldn't do much. So then he got to go send help. It slows your rotations up. So unless Tremont gets in the right situation like a Popovich or maybe a Rick Carlisle, in other words, one of the top 2, 3, 4 coaches in the league, mm-hmm. and can say, look, I'm going to put the guy on the floor 9 minutes a game. He's going to pick up the ball 94 right. feet and pester it. And he's going to put him in pick-and-roll situations. And that could work, but, boy, mm-hmm. you got to have the right set of guys. So I don't think it'll equate to a team spending a draft pick on him. Now, China could be a very lucrative option for Tremont because I think his size and the story sells. Right. So that could be something that he explores. The decision that his camp will have to make is, does he go G League? Because the G League makes a whole lot less than mm-hmm. players that play overseas. But, you know, you're one call up away getting on an NBA roster. So that I don't think he gets drafted.
Skylar Mays, I was a little bit surprised, but were you?
No, because I think Skylar's putting his toe in the water. Remember, the rules, just like Tremont did last year, are that
correct.
You can get your grade, you can work out, you can visit teams, they can give you feedback. And I think that's what Skylar's doing. We all know Skylar's a tremendous student. Mm-hmm. Med school was in his future at some point. You know, Matt Mock did this as a quarterback from LSU, right? He held a clipboard for a couple, 3 years in the NFL, and then he went to Dale School.
That's exactly right.
I think Skylar would be on that same path. And I've talked to him about this. He's going to play. He's going to get paid to play as long as he can, which I don't blame him. So I think this is more of an evaluation type uh-huh. of exercise for him. And I do think, Jordy, and from what I've heard, I'm in the minority, but I do think Skylar Mays can land on an NBA roster.
I do, too.
Character. Yep. And then what he can do for you. He's a guy that stays in his lane, extremely cerebral player. And, in the right situation, I think Skylar can make a roster.
I think he's like a Garrett Temple, but I think he's a better offensive player than Garrett. Garrett's a better defensive player than Skylar. But I think, to your point, I think that's – and every team needs guys in the locker room that don't complain about minutes – that are good
really
character
important.
Guys and will work hard each and every day. I'm in total agreement with you. Cavell Bigby-Williams has run out of eligibility. We both think there's a spot for him in the NBA, don't we?
There is. Again, I'll go back to fit. Here's the problem with Cavell. At his size, the game has really strayed from your traditional back-to-the-basket, long, 7-foot wingspan guy. And here's why. Because let's take Mirotić, for example. If a team that Bigby Williams was on played the Bucks, and the Bucks played Mirotić at center. Well, Bigby's got to go 23 feet away from the basket to guard him, because that's, you know, as we know at this time in New Orleans, he is a threat from 24 feet. Now, you pull Williams away from the basket, you've just taken away his biggest asset, which is rim protection. So
right.
Unless he's playing on Marc Gasol, Clint Capella, there's a couple more guys, but those kind of guys, you really can't play him because you immediately counter his biggest asset. So, you know, again, a team like the Celtics, or maybe someone who could use a 12-minute a game big off the bench that could rim-to-rim run, protect the rim, and you could cross-match him with someone that you didn't have to go guard at 24 feet. It's just a tougher match these days.
He is Henry Hayes. All right, moving on, they normally say, and history usually shows, the team with the most pros is the team that wins the Final Four. With that being said, in your opinion, which team has the most pros to be?
Well, that's a great question. I think, you know, when you're talking about single players, well, Jared Culver is riding the rocket, Jordy. He has done himself a ton of good work in favor of this tournament. If he gets out of the top five, I'll be stunned. Because the league loves him. Athleticism, he creates a shot, good off the second bounce, good kid. I mean, there's a lot to like there. You know, UVA's got a couple guys that, you know, UVA under Bennett, they really haven't, his guys haven't really translated to the league. Brogdon's still with Milwaukee, and he's good. Mm-hmm. But there's some question, I think, to those guys because it's such a system that they play.
Right, right.
I'll tell you what, Michigan State, I think Winston figures his way out on a roster. He's such a winner, and he just does so many things well. And then, you know, they've got a couple of the guys that, from an athletic standpoint, in the freshman left-hander has a shot. So, ironically, it's probably Michigan State. And that's who, by the way, I've got – I like their momentum. I love Izzo's veteran nature here. And those guys don't get out of their lane. That's why they dominated LSU and beat Duke. But I've got them winning the deal. But I would say Michigan State is my answer.
All right, Michigan State. I got Virginia winning the thing. I don't know why, just a gut feeling, but we'll see. Let's shift over to the NBA and a very, very, very important hire coming up for the New Orleans Pelicans. They've got apparently six candidates in mind for their general manager position. What are you hearing? What do you think? What direction should they go?
Well, so, you know, if you believe what you read, and that's a good if, you take your hat off to the search committee because they're talking to the right people. They're talking to up-and-comers that have been riding shotgun in some pretty good organizations. You know, look, the league has picked the San Antonio tree clean. In fact, you know, the former GM, Del Demps, was from the Greg Popovich School of Basketball, so they tried that. Doesn't always work out, but, you know, they're talking to who they should be talking to. The unknown, again, Jordy, and we talked about this before, is what does Gail Benson want? And I think this is a really interesting hire because I think they're hiring more as a small market franchise than they are for New Orleans. So, for instance, for Milwaukee, for San Antonio, for, you know, not the L.A.'s, New York, Chicago's, Boston, but the big market teams, that they're not going to get a Russell Westbrook to go there and play. They're not going to, you know, LeBron's not coming to New Orleans. So, you know, Utah, same thing. These franchises have to operate differently within how they draft, how they scout. Maybe they take chances on their European players. So I think it really is interesting who they hire, because who they hire is going to need to chart the course of, do you bottom out? Do you try to trade AD for a couple, you know, veterans in their 30s? And so, you know, there's a lot of ways to go with this. You can go the Philadelphia route, which is to completely run the thing ragged, and you get Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, and okay, now they're relevant. Other teams have tried to do it on the fly. So, to San Antonio, they trade, Kawhi, and they get, you know, DeMar DeRozan in return. So, there's a lot of ways to do it. It depends on the philosophy of that general manager. So, this is a really, really important hire. My question is, is Gail making the call,
And when she does, is she going to hand the reins over? Because, you know, Mickey Loomis running both the Saints and the Pelicans, we knew that wasn't going to work. It's a little bit of a goofy situation.
Right.
They needed a basketball guy. So, like I said, the six names I've seen, I like who they're talking to because those guys have all earned their stripes. They have respect around the league. And so, you know, we'll see what they end up doing.
My front runner in this thing is Larry Harris. He's 55 years old. He spent the entirety of his 32-year NBA career with two franchises, the Milwaukee Bucks, where he worked his way up. He started as a video coordinator, scout, and went all the way up to being named the GM in 2003. Then he goes to the Golden State Warriors, and he's been there for several years now and has worked in that organization since 2008-2009. So assistant general manager in 2016. That's a pretty good team to listen and learn from. Now, whether he can translate that on his own, running his own ship, that's to be determined. But that's certainly a pretty good resume, to your point.
Yeah, and he's a guy who's earned the stripes through a lot of respect around the league. Problem is, you know, this is the same question we asked with Gentry. Was Alvin bringing Steph with him? Because you know, awesome. But, you know, he couldn't. So you hope that they take the organizational structure and the discipline of, you know, where they're from and they learn the right way. Again, I think if you're a small market team like the Pelicans, well, you had better be in all these little gyms and you had better be scouting your tail off to go get the gyms of the world because, you know, again, those top-notch guys aren't picking you, so you got to go draft them and you got to beat the other guys at that process, including some of these pickups, like Siakam up in Toronto. That was tremendous fight. Yeah. So where are those guys? And there's a lot more guys coming out of Africa. So I think the grinders of the world, but that's what, look, Magic Johnson's not a good GM because you're not going to catch him in a D3 playoff game, right?
That's right.
He's not doing that. Jerry West, he's there. And that's the logo. So, it's going to be really interesting who they choose, but it's a key hire.
Well, we're almost to the point where this marathon is coming to an end, and then the fun gets started with the playoffs. And I'm really intrigued in the Eastern Conference, more so than I can remember in many, many a year. I don't know who's going to come out of it, but it should be very, very interesting.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, Toronto, you try to figure, are they the front runner? But then you say, you know, Kawhi's missed, I think, 20 games. It's a lot. Where's his head? I don't think he's coming back there. Nick Nurse is a new coach. So then you say, you know, can the Celtics regroup and put it together? I don't know. And then, of course, Milwaukee. I mean, they got the best player in the conference.
Yeah.
And they're pretty good. I mean, that team gets up and down. Now, of course, the possessions slow down in the playoffs, as you know. So a lot of really good questions. It's as wide open in the East ever since, of course, LeBron left. But it should be some great series, and I think I wouldn't be surprised if we have some upsets, some lower seeds beating some home seeds. So it should be a fun ride.
Yeah, I agree. I still like Philadelphia for some reason. They got that big beast, man. And when the playoffs come, they're pretty darn good. But all right, Mr. Henry Hayes, thank you for your time. I know you're a busy man,
Jordy.
But we greatly appreciate it. It was fun.
Hey, let's do it again as we near the draft and the playoffs.
You got it, my friend.
Okay,
absolutely.
Buddy.
Thank you, Henry. Take care. That brought to you by Hooters. Hooters just makes you happy. Remember, half-price happy hour. It's already underway from 3 till 6 o'clock tonight with a half-price margaritas, wine by the glass, and 14-ounce drafts. And our Sweet 15 special is still on. For $15, you get 15 boneless wings and a pitcher of Bud or Bud Light. You choose. Hooters just makes you happy. Back to wrap things up next.
The Blonde Bomber is back and better than ever as you are locked into the Jordy Hultberg Show on 1037 The Game, 1037thegame.com, and on the app.
DC's Little Capital Exxon. Yes, indeed. I-10 at the Henderson Cecilia exit in Brobridge, my favorite place, because they've got a little bit of everything there for you. Always neat and clean. And every chip and dip and snack and piece of gum and breath mint you could ever want and so much more. Plus that true soul food deli tucked away in the corner. And wherever you go, they're always smiling. They're always there, helpful to make sure that you get exactly what you want every time. That's DC's Little Capital Exxon I-10 at the Henderson Cecilia exit in Brobridge. My go-to stop. Make it your go-to stop as well. History lesson time. We go back to April 5th, the year 1984. I don't think he gets enough credit. They never put him on the Mount Rushmore of all-time greats when it comes to basketball, but Kareem Abdul-Jabbar of the Los Angeles Lakers scored his 31,420th point, breaking the NBA's career scoring record, which was previously held by Wilt Chamberlain. And Kareem would go on to add more and more and more to it. Still the all-time leading scorer in NBA history. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, the most unstoppable shot in the history of basketball. The skyhook. No one could stop it, ever. And if, amazingly, no one else has ever, ever perfected it. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, truly, truly one of the all-time greats on this day in sports history. All right, if it's your birthday today, happy birthday from all of us to all of you. You share with the likes of 45-year-old happy birthday Pharrell Williams. I'm so happy, clap along if you feel like a room without a roof. Yeah, you remember that one. Has he done anything since? But that was like number one across the world for that year, whenever that was. But that was happy was the one. That was it. Pharrell Williams. If it's your anniversary today, happy anniversary from all of us to all of you. Special thanks to our star-studded list of panelists today. Jay Clark, LSU Gymnastics, going for another opportunity to win a national championship, the first in program history. It all gets started tonight at 7 o'clock in Pete's Palace. Ben McDonald previewing LSU baseball versus Texas A&M tonight, 7 o'clock pregame, 6:30. Rudy Macklin on LSU hoops. Sonny Shipp on the LSU spring game. And Henry Hayes on all things hoops. Hope you enjoyed it half as much as we did bringing it to you. CD, great job all week long, man. You're the best. You make my life simple, and I greatly appreciate it. Thanks to all of you for listening in, to our partners that make it possible each and every day. Come on back Monday. We'll know who's in the national championship game. We'll preview that. I think it's Virginia and Michigan State. Been wrong before. Been right before. We'll see. We'll look back on LSU's spring game. We'll know how LSU baseball's fared, and on and on and on. It'll be a big show on Monday. So have a great Friday. Have an even better weekend. Get out there and enjoy it, no matter what the weather's like. Get out there and enjoy it. We'll talk to you again on Monday. So long, everybody. Have a great weekend. Jordy Hultberg, we're out of here.
Live from the 2-3.